I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather.
Brethren, born again. A Brethren in Christ couple encounter the American evangelical movement. A podcast by Devin Manzullo Thomas.
I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand.
In January 1952, thousands of evangelical Christians descended on Washington, D.C. to hear revivalist Billy Graham preach his message of sin and salvation. By this time, Graham had become a household name, admired throughout the United States for his folksy charm, rapid-fire preaching, and unrepentant condemnation of America's moral decline. Graham, as his admirers knew, had an answer for both individual problems and national crises, and that answer was evangelical Christianity.
And certainly the church in America today needs a revival. That is why we're here in Washington, to get men and women to realize their need of Jesus Christ as a personal savior. We want you to make a decision. That's the duty and the purpose of the church, to present to you Jesus Christ as the answer to our international dilemma, our national problems, and your personal problems.
Among those inspired by Graham's call for national revival were Eber and Ruth Doherty, the young pastoral couple from a small, rural church in Hollowell, Pennsylvania, along with their ministry colleagues Sam and Grace Wolgamuth, who pastored a congregation in nearby Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. The Doherty's were anxious to learn soul-saving techniques from Graham and other revivalists, like Bible study guru Dawson Trotman. Here are the Doherty's reminiscing in 2011 about Graham's crusade.
That was in D.C.
We would get up at 4 in the morning, Sam Wolgamuth and we and a couple other people would drive to Washington in time for Dawson Trotman's Navigators class.
At 6 o'clock.
Yeah. So we would sit through these 6 o'clock classes. We couldn't afford to stay for the breakfast. I don't know what we ate or where. And then for some reason or other, we'd stay for the meeting in the evening. And that actually led to us taking a bus with some of our Hollowell people and Waynesboro people for one or two of the evening meetings. And I remember coming back one night, unloading at Hollowell and going into the church and having a big prayer meeting that lasted past midnight. So a lot of people were getting saved.
As Ruth's words indicate, her church's sponsoring denomination, the Brethren in Christ, had historically affirmed the tenets of evangelical Christianity as outlined by Graham. They were an evangelistic people, committed to spreading their good news around the world. And yet their community also lived by doctrines not held by most evangelicals. Throughout most of their history, the Brethren in Christ believed that church members should act, speak, and dress differently than non-Christians. For instance, men and women wore distinctive clothing as a way of visibly representing their religious piety. Women wore long dresses and bonnet-like coverings on their heads, while men grew long beards and refused to put on neckties. Members also avoided what they considered sinful social activities, like gambling, attending carnivals, and going to the movies, among other recreational pursuits. Despite these differences, the Doherty's and the Wolgamuths also shared a great deal of interest in what their evangelical ministry colleagues were doing. Here's Ruth.
We became aware of the goings-on of sort of the formation of Youth for Christ. And Dr. Bob Cook, the first president, actually came to Waynesboro and spoke. And one of the things that I remember so vividly was that Sam Wolgamuth had already sort of become friends with people like Bob Pierce, who got his call to World Vision. Bob Pierce took us out for lunch and wanted us to join his team. You know, things like that were happening. Really, it was amazing what kind of inside tracks we were sort of on the tangent of it.
Gradually, as they spent more and more time around their evangelical colleagues, the Doherty's and the Wolgamuths began to see their plain ways as impediments to the work of evangelism. As Ruth Doherty recollects today, the call for nationwide revival proved more compelling than the desire to retain traditional church symbols.
The passion that we all had, especially, I think, hearing these men in Washington was to get people saved. We already had revival meetings at Hallowell. Really, so many people were coming forward at the invitation time and wanting to be part of us, but they didn't want to dress plain. Grace and I were just overwhelmed. And that's when we decided to demonstrate that you could be biblically modest without having to wear cape dresses and pleated coverings. I know we Grace and I were aware that we made a radical change when we decided to quit making cape dresses and coverings. With respect at least to the eastern part of the Brotherhood, the changes that the Wagamuth and we made from being plain people were pivotal for the East.
In short time, the Brethren in Christ as a whole would gradually come to abandon the outward manifestations of their plain ways. Further contact with the evangelical movement would accelerate such changes. As the movement's call for nationwide revival grew louder and louder, the Brethren in Christ would come to believe that any external impediments to conversion were not truly Christian, a radical revision of their historic faith and practice.
Glory, glory, hallelujah! Our God is our King.
This podcast was written and produced by Devin Manzullo Thomas, based on an interview conducted with Eber and Ruth Doherty at their home in Dillsburg, Pennsylvania, on March 7th, 2011. The full text of the interview can be found at the Brethren in Christ Historical Library and Archives in Grantham, Pennsylvania. Archival audio of Billy Graham, George Beverly Shea, and the Hour of Decision Choir is courtesy of the Billy Graham Center Archives in Wheaton, Illinois.